When you, sometimes that happens when you see somebody and you, whoa, I should lower the tone of my voice here. When you see somebody and you just feel that instant connection, and that will make sense later. I hope it's clear later. We're going to be, our sermon today is titled To Be Continued. That used to be the three words that would ruin my night as a child, before binging, before Netflix, when you could just watch episode upon episode, never ending until you finish the whole series in one night at 3 a.m. Before that was possible, To Be Continued would ruin your night, wouldn't it? Like, oh, I thought they could sum this up right now, but no, I gotta wait a whole week. And if there was some special event, you'd maybe would have to wait 2 weeks. I'm dating myself here, but our kids are growing up in an age where they don't remember television serials. It's Netflix, and they can just watch whatever they wanted. So there's a history lesson for you guys. But to be continued, we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy 2:2 today. And if you so choose to turn there in your Bibles or on your phones, I'll give you a second. I wanted to thank you for inviting us here today. We want to bring you greetings from DeKalb Church of the Nazarene. And it's hard to be away from your church, isn't it? We are so glad to be here. But of course, our thoughts are with those in DeKalb. So they send their greetings to you this morning. I'm going to be reading from the NRSV. Again, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. So one thing we do every single week when we read Scripture is to ask several questions. And the first question we always ask is, what is the setting of this command? What is the setting of the Scripture? What's going on? Well, the setting is that Paul is writing to Timothy. And if you're unfamiliar with Paul or Timothy or what's going on, I'll tell you. Paul is in prison in Rome for the second time and is and will not leave Rome. He will be killed there. And this is the second letter he's written to Timothy. The first one was more business related, what Timothy needs to know about leading the church in Ephesus, where he was. But the second one is much closer to Paul's end of life. And so the letter is much more personal. These are the things that you want to share because you don't know if it's your last chance. So there is a command in this today. There's something that we have to do. I wonder, Sarah, would you go find me some water? I have cotton mouth. That coffee on the way here this morning is really doing a number. The second question we ask is, well, what is the command, and what's the shortest we can make this command? So I'm going to read it one more time. Thank you. That's all right. Let her look. And what you've heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to who will be able to teach others as well. What's the shortest we can make this command? Anybody want to venture an attempt? It's hard, isn't it? What can we take away? What is non-essential in this? Babe, you're so slow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have a lengthy command. There's a lot of important pieces here. In fact, some of the pieces of this command are not even found in this verse. But I think maybe we could shorten it to, we have to look for the operative word here, right? If this is a command that we're supposed to perform, we have to look for the verb. And that verb in this command would be entrust. And so what are we supposed to entrust? And I would venture a guess, entrust the mission. But let's look specifically, and what exactly is Timothy supposed to entrust to others? The answer to that is found in the previous chapter. Chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Sound teaching found in the faith and love of Christ Jesus. No surprise there. For Paul, it all comes back to Jesus. This is what he's asking Timothy to pass on, to entrust to others. Paul does not spend in 2 Timothy time describing what that sound doctrine is. We don't have a description of these are the essential things that you have to know and believe. He doesn't go into detail here. So how does Timothy know what to pass on? Well, he knows because he's already heard. This passage is not about gathering information. It's not about teaching. It's not about agreeing with a certain idea. That's already been done. Paul is talking to Timothy about, okay, now what are you going to do with this? This is this command is about strategy. And let's look real quick at two words that are in the Greek that are going to really help us. The first one is the word that is translated for us as through. Through. And this word in the Greek is dia. Now, you've probably heard of the Greek word via, which means by way of, right? Means on the road, right? So you have heard from someone else. I watched this morning's message via Living Well's website. That's one way we use via. But this is dia. It's another preposition, but it means something slightly different. Dia talks about, it focuses on the instrument used to accomplish a thing. So for example, if I heard something from someone via, they would simply repeat back to me what someone else has said. But if I were to hear it dia, that's something else altogether. That focuses on the tool or the manner in which it has been communicated to me. It talks about the person and the way that they have communicated it to me. And I'll tell you, it's more than words. Oh, now I'm thinking of that 90s song. More than words. Sorry, I won't go there. The second word that we need to look at is entrust. This is a great word. Entrust means to assign responsibility for doing something to or for someone else. In short, it means go do. A better, more full description is to find in someone else the help, confidence, protection, and support to accomplish a task. To find in someone else the help, confidence, protection, and support to accomplish a task. That's what it means to entrust. And of course, the meaning of this word is not difficult for us to parse out. In trust. To place our trust in someone else to accomplish a thing. So we have this message, this sound doctrine in the faith and love of Jesus Christ that Timothy is supposed to entrust to others. We're going to spend a moment talking about what that might look like. I spoke to several of you volunteers for an activity or game. If I spoke to you moments ago before the service, would you come up at this time? All right. Come on up on stage. All right, so here's what's going to happen. Let's see. I'll have, can you and Noah in the green shirt switch places? And then And yeah, that's good. So you're clear. I gave you special instructions. You remember what those were? So now I can talk to, I can give instructions for everyone. So this is what's going to happen. We're going to have a little exercise in what is being described here, dia and trust. Okay, so I'll need you three to give me your word that you're not going to peek. Okay? You can't peek. In fact, I'm going to have you turn toward the windows so that you cannot see what we're doing over here, okay? And if you're so tempted, Eli, maybe cover your eyes just to make sure, because it's very important to the game and to the illustration that we're trying to prove, okay? All right, so what's going to happen is I'm going to perform a task, and Noah here will watch, and there's my alarm, sorry. And he's going to watch, and then he is going to perform the task for Eli to learn, okay? All right? So go ahead and turn that way, and I'll get the supplies. Don't be afraid. All right. All right. Yeah, there we go. So the without turning around, just listen, I forgot to give you one instruction. You're not allowed to say anything or do anything that you are not shown. Apologies. I forgot to open these ahead of time. Don't do this. Never ever do that, especially in front of your dentist. Apologies. Oh, it was going so smoothly up until this point, wasn't it?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I need help. Do you have anything sharp, Joe? Yes. Yes. Can you get that open? Oh, thank you.
Dad, there was something. Dad.
Yes. That's the scene. Oh. You just earned yourself a job, is what happened there. Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe. All right. Don't say anything, because you're going to have to do this for the next person, okay? Ready? Here we go.
Looking around.
Call! Call!
Can we turn around now?
No, not yet.
Call! Call! Go. So get Eli to turn around. Tell Eli to turn around so you can show him.
I'm feeling it now.
Go for it. Over here and dry off.
Is it my hair? It's my hair. I do not want it.
Now, you were okay with being a little bit messy. You need help? No, it's not cold. It's not cold. Here we go. Caw. Louder. Caw. Look up. Caw. All right. Good. Step over here. No? You know? Okay. Eli, sorry, buddy. He's out. Go ahead and sit down. That's fine. Thank you. That was his special instructions. He was supposed to say no. All right. Don't look. So you're going to have to do it one more time. Okay, now imagine I'm Eli then. Oh, I would you hand me a paper towel?
You can just double it down.
Okay, you can turn around.
Oh. I don't like cherries.
You don't have to eat it. Just balance it.
Balance it where?
On your face.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. Just caw.
Caw.
Caw. Can you give these guys a hand? Hand him, yeah. Yes, you can keep them.
Okay, good.
All right, here's some wet wipes. Here's some wet wipes. Thank you, guys.
It's messy.
Wow. I had no idea. I had no idea it would do that to skin. Surprise. All right. Okay, you want to take the paper towels and the wet wipes and clean yourselves up? There you go. All right. Thank you. All right. If I had communicated to them what they would be doing via by telling them in words, I don't think they would have volunteered for this. I only asked them to do this if they didn't mind getting a little bit messy. But that I showed them dia, that I showed them dia by performing it myself, it's a little bit different. When we do things, when we live by example, it carries a lot more weight than if we just live by word. I'm going to put these back on because I'm blind. So why was that necessary? It's because this passage today is not about learning content. It's about action and strategy. We are all in Timothy's position. We've all already been taught and educated. Even children that only attend Sunday school or small groups on Sunday one time a week, that's 1 hour. If they start at 3 years old and they're now five, that's 1 hour every week, 52 hours in a year. Over 3 years, that's 156 hours of education. We've all been educated in what we're supposed to do. We all know the doctrine. We've been taught the doctrine. What we don't have as much as an opportunity to dia the doctrine and entrust the doctrine to others. Teaching through talking tends to reproduce more talking. Teaching by example reproduces action. Watch me and what I do. To paraphrase Paul, it would be, follow me as I follow Christ. Watch me as I follow Christ. Because if we're unable to meet this way, if the church is driven underground, just creatively imagine with me for a moment, if we no longer have these formats, no more songs, no more public sermons, no more copies of Bibles, PowerPoints, and the like, what is left by which we can make and teach and train new disciples? What will be left? Watch me as I follow Christ. So this is not just a worst-case scenario. This is not just a fail-safe in case one day we lose all this stuff. If we one day lose the permission from our culture to operate as we do. This is the method we should be using right now. Why? Because it's most effective. It's more effective than anything else the church does. Discipleship and training others by example is the most effective tool that we have. Watch me as I follow Christ. And it's not just the method that the church should be using, it's what we should be using individually. Finding someone who will be faithful to pass it on to others, live Jesus in front of them, and entrust them with that mission. So why is Paul giving this command? That's another question that we ask a lot every single week. Why is this command being given? First of all, because people matter to God, right? But the second is that Paul is very aware of his mortality. He knows that things are drawing to an end for him. And when you're in that position, you're very aware, not just of your own mortality, that things are ending soon for you, but really, all of us are going to face this at some point. We realize that all of us have a lifespan, and one day, that will be over. So it has become important to Paul to write about the things that absolutely have to be communicated. And what is that? It's the action. You know, you have been taught. You have your, the witness of your mother and your grandmother, and you have, I have poured my life into you. You know everything you need to know. Now here's the strategy for passing it on. Most of us think and plan our life in terms much more limited than what Paul is talking about. It's not unusual for many of us to plan our calendars a year in advance. But what is your strategy for the spiritual well-being of people 3, 4, or 5 generations after you? What are you doing in your life today that is impacting people who will be born long after you are gone? How will you impact their spirituality positively? If you were to die today, what is the significance that you would leave behind? And it's not just about time after our own. It's also about the now and relationally. Most people plan for themselves or their family, but what is your strategy to disciple the man that lives next door to the mother of your coworker's boyfriend? That's an important question. Because God has a strategy to reach them, do we? We don't even know this person, but do we have a strategy to reach them? We should. Because once you dig into a person's life, once you become involved and you wrap your life up with theirs, it's going to get messy. But it's also going to open up pathways that the Spirit has been preparing to open for a very long time. God will open up relationships and connections, and it may spread through your first immediate ring of friends and family. But it's also going to follow what seems to be a line in the grass of gasoline, and it will just take off. And someone will begin living their life according to Christ, which will impact this person that we don't know, which will impact this person that we could never hope to know, and on and on and on. So what is our strategy for reaching people that we don't know? It's discipleship. It's living virally and trusting the mission to others. But what makes this difficult? That's another question we ask every week. Okay, we hear the command. We know why the command was given. All right, what's going to make this hard for us? Well, we might be unwilling to get messy. And so when people are unwilling to get messy, what happens? When the person Eli was demonstrating said, nope, not for me, Eli would have had to do it again with someone else. We move on because we're looking for what Paul said. We're looking for faithful people who will entrust it to others. And that's exactly what we have here. We have a person, we had Timothy, who was in the place of Eli. Eli was Timothy, I was the Paul, and Noah was a witness. And this is what is communicated in the gospel. It's not that the message was transmitted via Noah, it was transmitted via Noah. It says that you have heard the things that I have said by the witness of others. What you have heard me say through their example, right? You know I said it because of the many witnesses who are now changing, that Jesus is changing their life, and they're doing what I'm doing. Now, Eli is Timothy, and he has to find the faithful to pass it on and entrust this to someone else. And when someone doesn't receive that entrusting, he has to show someone else. What else makes this difficult to live this command? It could be that when we say, watch me, that they don't see Jesus. It could be that our actions are not consistent with what is shown by Christ. What else makes us difficult? Maybe we don't know people who will teach others. For one reason or another, maybe they've never been told that they can do this, or they just are uncomfortable doing this. But for any number of reasons, they won't. They won't teach others. Maybe we only know people, maybe we don't know people who can teach others. Maybe we simply don't know who will or who won't. We just have no idea where their faith is. We don't know if they're faithful. But how will we do this? So what are we supposed to do? I think, firstly, we have to simplify the process. I believe Jesus' heart breaks when we wrap discipleship up with leadership development. Discipleship is different than developing leaders. Because leaders are fewer than disciples, aren't they? That's something different. But the Great Commission was not given to just leaders. The Great Commission was given to disciples, those in the learning position. So this is for everyone. Everyone has been asked to make new disciples, and then God gives us some leaders. But we in the church have traditionally confused discipleship training with leadership development. And what happens when we do that? Well, we tend to get an older audience, and we tend to be missing the child age and teenage apostles. Because I don't know if you know this. I don't know if your kids know this. But they are ready now to share their faith in Jesus. They are ready now. The Holy Spirit has done a work in them, and they are ready now. But are we telling them they're ready? Are we getting them ready? Or do we say, you know what, just huddle in for now. One day we'll send you out. Where is the young church? And the reason we don't see the young church very much, the young apostles, is because we've wrapped discipleship training up with leadership. Well, they're not ready for leadership, so we can't tell them how to be an apostle. And the other thing that comes with an older audience is, and by that I mean adults, young adults and up. When you have an older audience, they've already learned a status quo. They're less creative and less courageous. The other thing you get when you have discipleship wrapped up with leadership development is complicated methods. Because we tend to overcomplicate things as adults. We think it can't be simple. This is something that's very challenging, so we need a complex solution. And when that happens, the more complex the process, the greater the giftedness is required to maintain it. So the more complicated it is, the more I have to find truly gifted people to be able to replicate it. But if the process is simple, anyone can do it. Simple does not mean simplistic. These are two different things. In fact, simple is more elegant than complex. It's very easy to overcomplicate things, isn't it? It's very easy to come up with a complex method. It's difficult to come up with a simple method out of that, but it's more refined. So while what is easy is often simple, what is simple is not always easy. So the job falls on us to develop simple discipleship techniques that don't require skilled or gifted leadership to carry it out. It should be simple. And when it's simple, it's easy and effective. If discipleship is made simple, more would be able to do it. And we'd see more leaders emerge as well. But that deals with the church structure and its methods, but how we do ministry together. But what about us individually? Because all of us are going to leave in a few minutes. All of us are going to go back to responsibilities and relationships where this stuff matters. What do we do? What are we supposed to do with this? How do we live this out? What about you? What is God showing you in our time today? What is he teaching you? What is he telling you? What is one step? So keeping the command in mind, and trust the mission to others who will faithfully reproduce it in others. It's going to be difficult for us. Not many of us are in a position where we can go out and do that tomorrow, today. Because to get there, it requires a structure, right? And so many of us will have to build that structure. It's going to take time. Who is watching you? Who is watching you? Do you have someone in your life that will receive this? Someone who trusts you? Someone who is faithful? Someone who can virally explode with the good news? So what is one step that you can take this week that will help you accomplish this in the future? If you don't know people who are faithful, find faithful people. If you don't know anybody who's not a disciple already, because we're supposed to make new disciples, go find someone who is not a disciple. If you know somebody who's not a disciple and they don't trust you, go build rapport. Go be there. Go be present. Trust them, and they will return the favor. There are many things that need to happen to get us ready to entrust the mission to others. And I don't know where you are individually, but the Spirit does. So would you agree with me to pray about this? Ask the Spirit to tell you what is next for you. What can you do tomorrow, today, this week, that will enable you to entrust the mission to others? Because there's an author, and I can't remember his name. He said, the trouble is you believe there is always time. That's the trouble. We don't always have time. None of this is guaranteed. So we're going to pray now. My closing thought is, before we receive communion, is our entire ability to do this, to entrust the mission to others, will rely upon something else that we haven't even talked about today. But you'll have to wait, because this message is to be continued. That's a groaner. I know. I apologize. We are going to finish up next week talking about to be continued, and the very important thing that has to happen before we can entrust others with the mission. As we close, we're going to the ushers ready for communion? Get ready. This is the Eucharist, man. This is good stuff. This is the means of grace by which Jesus enlivens and pours out his Spirit into his people. This is something we should do with great joy and anticipation. The Eucharist. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the command that you have given us through this letter to Timothy. We thank you that you have given us relationships that that are so fertile. These relationships that are so ripe and ready to hear about you. People that we know are desperate to hear about the hope and forgiveness that you offer them. And we thank you that you have given us not just the right things to believe, but you've also given us the strategies to use. And we thank you and we praise you that these things are not too difficult for us. We don't have to be, we don't have to go to 4 years of education to be able to do this. We're ready right now. So may we rest in the trust that you have placed in the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That we are, we have success available to us because we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And you have planned for good things to happen when we take you by faith. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would show us the next step today and give us opportunity, whether it's today or tomorrow, but this week to take action and to set up a simple model for discipling others. We thank you that you have already given us many resources, whether it's by books or through Pastor Trotter, these methods that we can do. There is training and coaching available, and we thank you that they have spent time with this, making a complex thing very simple. So help us to see where our place is to plug in to the discipleship process. We thank you because we want our lives to mean something when we pass. When we receive and walk into an eternal life, we want to know that our time here was valuable and that it will go on meaning something long after we're gone. And we thank you for the urgency that Paul spoke with, that none of us know our time. And so it is with great humility that we seek out the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you for the communion. We thank you for this Eucharist, this means of grace. And we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us once again. Fill us until we're overflowing. Leave no area of our heart unfilled. And if it requires that you throw some stuff out to make more room for you, please do that. Please fill us again to overflowing with the presence of your Holy Spirit. It's you that we rely upon. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace and forgiveness. And may you be honored by what you see and hear in our response to you this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. the bread, a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ broken for you, may preserve you blameless till his return. The cup of redemption, symbolizing the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spilled for you, may it preserve you blameless till his return. Let's pray. Jesus, we are so grateful that you didn't have a bouncer at the door to your communion. You did not screen. You did not vet those who would come to your table. If you had, you would have found that every one of your disciples had some misgivings, that all of them were to some measure unfaithful. But you opened up your table to them anyway. You served them with such humility anyway. You didn't require that they clean themselves up before they come and receive this meal, that they change their lives before coming in, being welcomed to the table, being welcomed to the fellowship of the beloved. Before what being welcomed into your church, you opened up yourself to serve anyone who would receive you. And we find ourselves around your table this morning, not because we've cleaned ourselves up, not because we have it all together, not because we made it through some complicated vetting process, that we have the right credentials and we have the right studies and the right letters after our name, but we come because you invited us. You invited us to your table, and you have served us, and you have washed our feet and made us clean. And you have asked us to just simply step into what you are already doing for us. You started this process years ago. You have declared before the throne of the Father that we are forgiven, that we are accepted, and we are your children. And you did that long before we were thought of. You have declared us forgiven and acceptable. Help us to step with faith into that acceptance today. Help us to receive the way that you humbly serve us, and the way you build us up, the way you cleanse us, the way you wash us and make us clean, the way you purify the impure. Jesus, we are yours. We want to say again that we belong to you. And would you once again do the work in us? Because salvation needs to be continued in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we thank you because you are planning to do great things as a result of this process of discipleship that Paul gave to Timothy. May we join this process with enthusiasm and without fear. May we bring you great joy. But once again, Holy Spirit, in order for this to happen, we rely totally upon you. It cannot be by our own strength. Spirit, would you go ahead of us? We will talk when you say to speak, and we will shut up when you tell us to. And we will act when you tell us. We are all yours because our time is limited and you love people. We pray all of these things in the powerful and holy name of our risen Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Would you stand and learn a new song with us this morning?
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
I'm doing the announcements. Anybody have anything they want to announce? I think you said something.
A coat giveaway next week at Saturday at Grace Methodist Church.
A coat giveaway?
Yeah, they do a coat giveaway.
Coat giveaway. Okay. Next Saturday, where at?
At Grace Methodist
Church. Grace Methodist Church. And of course, we're still doing men's groups on Saturdays at the Polo Barbershop, are we not? Or is that gone right now? Okay, so what we'll do is Saturday mornings, if any guys, I'll get in touch with you. We can meet here at Living Well if we want to do a Saturday morning men's group. I'll get in touch with the guys. Any other thoughts, comments?
Alabaster boxes.
Alabaster boxes, Miss Renee.
In the end of October.
We'll be collecting those at the end of October, the alabaster boxes. Very good. And of course, when we get done, you guys are used to moving the chairs. Probably, okay, we'll deal with that. Ready, brother?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Don't forget to thank Sarah and Nathan for coming to us.
Yoo-hoo! And have some sprinkles.
Hallelujah.